grace, mercy, and peace to you from the living God and his Son, Jesus the Christ, who gives you the keys to his kingdom, built his church from the words of your lips, and promises victory over hell's gates. So, what's the talk out there lately? What are you hearing? The King of Heaven wants to know. Does that surprise you? Our King cares about gossip. Well, people talk, don't they? Are you listening? Jesus asks his disciples, what do you know? What are you hearing? What are people saying, asks Jesus, about me? Straight to the point. What are you saying about Jesus? Anything? Nothing? Who do you say Jesus is? That is actually the single most vital and important question in the universe. Fifteen years ago, a public opinion poll surveyed modern Israelis, asking them 20 questions about Jesus. Now, in that country today, most believe his Hebrew name is pronounced Yeshua, which is not a real name, but a corruption of the name Yeshua. Medieval rabbis called Jesus a deceiver, even a sorcerer. So they refused to use his real name. They dropped a letter to form a Hebrew acronym, Yimach Shemo VeZikro, which means, quote, may his name and memory be blotted out. Unquote. So that medieval curse was partly realized, as Yeshua is how Jesus is known in Israel today. In that survey, 62% knew Jesus performed some miracles. 35% knew Jesus only as, quote, a Jew who started a new religion. But only 5% of Israeli citizens never even heard that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus asks this question of all his disciples. Who do people say that I am? Well, many say he's some kind of a prophet. Now, people compare to Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptizer, beside grace. Many Muslims today would call Jesus a prophet. That's what the Quran calls him. Many others around the world probably describe him the way Jews in that survey did. Someone started a new religion called Christianity. Well, what's that religion all about? Anyway, politics? It's all about morality? Well, Thomas Jefferson, many others in his day, thought Jesus was a very good teacher. So we move to all his witnesses, Unitarians, many liberals who say he's just a man. They scoff at the idea that he rose from the dead. Well, how about a good example for us? Like Gandhi, Mother Teresa, or the Dalai Lama, George Washington, chopped down that cherry tree, but not for a while. Abraham Lincoln died for his life. Is that all Jesus did? Who do you say that I am? Asked Jesus. You. Me and every person has ever heard his name. And no, this question is not what do you think about me? Or who do you think about me? But who do you actually say that I am? What words actually leave your lips? How do you actually speak of Jesus to others? Are you ashamed to even say his name? We might admit that we go to church, if we're brave, perhaps we even let people know. We read the Bible about that. To close friends, we might even admit we're Christians. How often do you say the name Jesus? How can you tell others in words spoken out loud that you actually believe he is the Christ? What's that really mean anyway? You actually know. No, it's not his last name. And Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, which translates the Hebrew word Mashiach, or Messiah. Christ is a title. It's a job description of the one who died to pay the penalty for your sin and mine. The sin of all mankind for all time. The one God sent to save his people. Christ means the anointed one. Meaning, someone dumped something on him. Well, what was that? The Holy Spirit. At his baptism, the Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the world's sin." Yet what do we say when Jesus' name is used as a casual curse? People not. We rarely defend Jesus' reputation with our own lips, even speak of him much at all, much less explain what he did and still does in this world. Even worse, we ourselves misuse his name. He commands us to pray, to call upon his name in prayer. Yet we don't. We don't want a substitute. Just a coach. Not a savior, just a filler. Short-lived. Not a messiah, but a model. Which means all too often we worship the Lord, not Jesus. Jesus builds his church. That's what he says. Jesus is not the people. And not on the character of a man like Peter or any pastor, but on the power of proclamation. What you say. Spoken words. When you declare with your lips who Jesus is, you confess him to be the one who rescued you from your own sin. And also savior of this whole world. Yes, God established the office of the Holy Ministry, the office of the keys, and we'll get to that in a minute. But Jesus doesn't want only ministers to tell people who he is. He calls every rescued person, every baptized believer, to make this good confession. Speaking words from your lips about one who Jesus is. Two, what he did for you. Three, why? That touches your soul. Spoken words. That's how the Holy Spirit creates faith, calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies Christ's body on earth and keeps it with Jesus in the one true faith. It's not something you can see, that faith is invisible. In a sense, then, Christ's church is also invisible. And yet, here you are. The true church is where his name is being proclaimed and where his word is being taught in its truth and purity. Listen to what the Son of the Living God said himself in Psalm 2, quote, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. So we confess, we believe, Jesus died to save each and every person you will ever. Someone you think about right now. When you can speak those words. You don't silent. Why? part is because we don't realize how rich we really are as baptized believers. People that Jesus rescued from hell, from death, from our slavery to sin. And that's where today's epistle reading comes in. In his letter to the Church of Rome, St. Paul said more than could be said in a single sermon. In fact, God himself says right here to you, there's infinitely more here to know about me and my gifts to you than you will ever know, than you can ever know. It's literally awe-inspiring. Amazing. It moves St. Paul to say something he does not say anywhere else in the New Testament. Oh. Like, wow. Oh my. Oh my Lord. Oh, great God Almighty. His riches are unsurpassed. Imagine a great sand dune or an enormous crowd pit filled full, not of sand gravel, but with gold coins. And it stretches to the horizon. There's no end. It's bottomless, so deep. You'd be dangerous, you'd be fell. You'd sink down under it, drown in those riches. And that gigantic pile of gold coins stretches beyond what you can grasp or see or think or even imagine. It's only a promise of God. It's an ocean of gallows, of riches. Get this. It's all his. It all belongs to our heavenly King. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, wow. Wow, me. That's not all. It's all his, yes. He also says, it's all there. Here. Open it. Come in. Here's the keys. It's all yours. It's all open to anyone you let in. And closed to anyone you want. Counselor, the Spirit who knows the mind of God himself. The key.
with you now. Your heart, your mind, your lips, you receive that power through baptism of the Son and the Spirit of Christ. It belongs to Jesus and his bride, his own body, the church. He gave the key to you. Forgiveness. You use it. Or you don't. You hold it back. Or you put it out. To bind or to loose. To catch or release. To imprison or to set free. To condemn or pardon. To hold on or let go. That's what it is to forget. Or to withhold. It's the key to heaven. And it works through words. Words you your voice, your tongue, your lips, speaking words to unlock heaven for someone, or not. You are not free to forgive, but God does not want to forgive. Or to bind them, but God does not want bound. But when you know the will of the Lord in the matter, you're not only free, you're authorized, empowered, encouraged, yes, commanded to speak that forgiveness or command. God's own comfort or warning. Now Jesus spoke of building his church from our words, speaking out loud, telling people who he is. And then he said, he gives the keys to his kingdom, to us, unlocking heaven itself. But then he said something even more strange. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Now, I have wrestled with this a lot in the world too. How come the gates prevail? They're just standing, right? Why do they succeed or win out? Strange.
There's something different about you.
Something this world desperately needs.
Not ashamed. Not afraid. Able to resist temptation. Free of all that enslaves so many of us. Eager to sacrifice your time, your energies, your personal desires, your daily life. All you can accomplish in your living life is to do this. Continue to thank God for your service to God. And you even speak words to glorify Jesus, but who he is and who he's going to see. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord. God's riches and peace, which pass all.